I call this meeting of the House Commerce Committee to order. We do have a quorum present. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for April 8th, 2024? Representative Farr, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
I have, Madam Chair, so moved.
All right. Representative Farr moves approval of April 8th minutes. Any discussion to those minutes, members, or to the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. The motion prevails, and the minutes for April 8th, 2024 are approved. Members, the only bill on our agenda today is House File 5274, and Chair Stevenson moves that House File 5274 be re-referred to the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee. Members, since we did adopt the A4 amendment yesterday, we will forego that motion to adopt. Chair Stevenson is, he did his introduction yesterday, so we will move right into testimony, members. But I do want to remind everybody in the audience, and please listen carefully to what I'm about to say. We have many folks who have come to share their thoughts on this bill today, and I think there are passionate feelings about this bill. So please keep your comments limited to 2 minutes. We do have a strict timeline today. We will be keeping time, and when your time has elapsed, I will let you know. Two people will again be called to the testifiers table, so please come up to the front when your name is called and be ready to begin speaking promptly. And then when testifying, please do keep your comments limited to the content of the bill and refrain from speaking to personalities and motivations. I will give you notice if you veer too much from the scope of today's discussion. And finally, please be extra respectful to the members and the staff on committee, as well as other testifiers and members of the audience. Thank you. Our first testifier is Andy Plato, and followed by Randy Sampson. Randy, if you would come and sit down, then you'll be ready to go right after. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Andy Plato, and I serve as the Executive Director of the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association, or MIGA. MIGA is currently made up of 9 of the 11 federally recognized tribes within the state of Minnesota. On behalf of MIGA tribal leaders, thank you for the opportunity to comment on House File 5274. MIGA leaders appreciate the legislature's recognition that HHR and electronic table games are not contemplated anywhere in current law, and an appointed body like the Minnesota Racing Commission does not have the authority to expand gambling in Minnesota. Gambling policy is the business of this body and the full legislative branch, and all 201 members should be alarmed that your role as lawmakers has been hijacked. Racing commissioners were provided the AGE letter in your packets long before last Monday's vote. Commissioners knew that state regulators affirm these games as illegal gambling devices, just like slot machines, not as parimutuel horse racing, and thus in no way under the Racing Commission's authority. Then, Executive Director Gustafson reminded members that any action on the track's request before tribal consultation would violate Minnesota Statute 1065, and the commission acted in defiance of that counsel. In other words, after decades of debate at the Capitol on this very topic, the commission decided to deliberately circumvent legislative authority and unilaterally authorize slot machines at the state's horse tracks. Tribes have an inherent sovereign right to operate and offer gaming affirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court. Commercial racetracks do not. Furthermore, gaming revenues serve as the essential source of money that funds tribal governments, tribal communities, and the services indigenous Minnesotans rely on. Today, a significant amount of those revenue come from video slot machines, devices that are virtually identical from a player's perspective to the so-called HHR machines proposed by racetracks and illegally approved by the Racing Commission a week ago. In short, video game expansion like HHR and electronic table games greatly threaten the health of the tribal gaming industry. Absolutely. House File 5247 is a reasonable and appropriate response to prevent further unauthorized and illegal actions on these topics, and its passage rightfully protects the legislature's authority as Minnesota's sole lawmaking body. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sampson, you can introduce yourself and proceed. You'll be followed by Jack Meeks.
Please
come down.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Randy Sampson, and I'm the CEO of and chairman of Canterbury Park, and I'm here today to speak in opposition to this bill, as it takes us backward at a time when we need to find ways to boost purses and rebuild the horse racing industry in Minnesota. The purses we pay help support a $400 million horse racing industry in the state, as well as provide jobs to thousands of Minnesotans. These hospitality workers, farmers, breeders, and people that care for the horses are the ones that will be most impacted by this bill and the current mobile sports betting bill if they are to pass. Nationally, horse racing is at a crossroads. States that have implemented strategies to enhance purses are seeing their racing thrive, while states that have not supported racing are seeing tracks close. The cardroom legislation in 1999 and our 10-year marketing agreement with the SMSC are good examples of previous successes of working together to find ways to enhance purses. We believe that Minnesotans want horse racing to thrive, but that won't happen without a thoughtful long-term plan of how gaming will evolve in Minnesota. Our opposition to this bill and concern about the mobile sports betting bill is that they are preventing Canterbury Park from doing what tracks in other states have been able to do: expand our offerings to meet changing customer demand and fund competitive purses. The bill before you eliminates a form of card playing that uses a technology some customers prefer and has been in place since 2017 with no issues. This will negatively impact our purses. The bill also prohibits a modernized form of pari-mutuel wagering on horse races, historic horse racing, which prevents us from following a model that has worked to increase purses in other states. Canterbury's message for the past two sessions has been simple. If we are going to make changes to Minnesota's gaming landscape, let's do it in a way that works for tribal casinos, tracks, and local charities. Let's not pick winners and losers. Each of these Minnesota gaming industries provide different types of economic community development with positive impacts throughout the state. Also, as technology and consumer preferences evolve, each of these groups is subject to the same competitive pressures and the need to adapt. We believe the broadest economic and community benefit will come from bringing all of these parties together and setting a clear direction for new gaming in Minnesota.
Mr. Sampson, if you could wrap up.
Yep, thank you. Unfortunately, that isn't where we are at this point in the session. Instead, the bills are picking who will win and who will lose and expanding gaming for some but prohibiting others. If you pass this bill and the current version of mobile sports betting, you are jeopardizing the future of horse racing in Minnesota. Let's find a way to work together on a gaming bill that will benefit all stakeholders in the Minnesota gaming industry. Thank you.
Next, we have Mr. Meeks, followed by Tracy Wilson. Come sit down. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jack Meeks, and I'm the chairman of Citizens Against Gambling Expansion. Recently, we became aware of the potential and massive expansion of gambling in Minnesota when the Minnesota Racing Commission began consideration of adding 1,000 slot machines to the state's two horse race tracks. Those slot machines would feature historic horse racing games. The machines are purposely designed to mimic typical slot machines. A player's experience is essentially identical to that provided by slot machines. The machines under consideration look like slot machines, act like slot machines, and in any reasonable evaluation are slot machines. If the two horse race tracks are allowed to place 1,000 slot machines in Running Aces in Canterbury, it will represent one of the largest expansions of gambling in the state. The Minnesota legislature has the sole authority to regulate gambling in this state and must carefully and appropriately use that oversight authority. The unlawful action that happened last week at the Minnesota Racing Commission cannot be allowed to stand, lest other organizations and appointed boards attempt to do the same, to install slot machines anywhere in the state without legislative approval. National and international studies have shown that slot machines are the most addictive form of gambling. We do not believe that the appointed Minnesota Racing Commission nor any other appointed body has the authority to expand gambling in any form. We believe that you, the members of the legislature, determine gambling policy in the state. This bill is a much needed response to prevent what happened last week at the Minnesota Racing Commission and serves as a warning to other unauthorized boards or commissions from taking similar action in the future. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Meeks, and thank you for being under 2 minutes. Next, we have Tracy Wilson again. All right, wonderful, thank you. Followed by Leah Patton. When you're ready, you can introduce yourself and proceed.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Commerce Finance Policy for having me today. My name is Tracy Wilson, and I am the CFO of Running Aces. I first want to correct the record on 2 points. First, dealer assist gaming was approved by the Minnesota Racing Commission in 2017, and we have been playing it ever since. The game is played with a dealer dealing physical cards. There's been no challenge to this game until recently, when Tribal Casinos filed a lawsuit last fall challenging an approval by the Minnesota Racing Commission. Please, I'm urging you to please let this go through our legal system. We've been offering these games since 2017. They're very important to the customers that play it that want to have their own anonymity and be able to not feel threatened on a game. Second, I want to correct what is being said about HHR. It is not a slot machine, and there is no random number generator. It is 100% pure mutual and is just like what customers do today to bet on a race, but this happens to be betting on a past race at a racetrack, at a licensed racetrack. This is a new modern form of pari-mutuel betting on horse racing. The player wins based solely on the outcome of the race and their picks. The AGED letter that has been mentioned analyzed other patents, not even this game that has been approved by the Minnesota Racing Commission. Next, I'm here today to express my disappointment at the bill Representative Stevenson introduced Thursday. I am caught up with many emotions ranging from anger, sadness, and disappointment from what I am seeing from our politics today. This bill targets the racing industry and the livelihoods of the thousands of employees, horsewomen and men, owners, trainers, drivers, jockeys, grooms, vets, feed and supply stores, and the many other businesses impacted by this terrible bill.
Ms. Patton, bill, you can wrap up, please.
This bill will irreparably harm the $500 million horse racing industry.
Oops. Ms. Wilson, sorry.
I will wrap up. It is no coincidence, though, that this came about after the 5-1 vote by the MRC. It's important to know that at tribal casinos, video games of chance have been evolving and evolving since the compacts in 1990. The compact for blackjack has expanded to any class three card game. So why can't we modernize our pari-mutuel product? It's important to the horse racing industry. You should not be picking winners and losers. And there's two things that can be true. I believe this. Tribal casinos can flourish as well as the racing industry. Two of us can flourish. Please don't pick winners and losers. Thank you. I appreciate your time. Appreciate you guys listening to me.
Thank you for your time. Ms. Patton, you can introduce yourself and proceed. You will be followed by Richard Bremer.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Leah Patton, and I am the Executive Director of the Joint Religious Legislative Coalition. JRLC is a statewide coalition formed through the partnership of our four sponsoring organizations, which are the Islamic Center of Minnesota, the Jewish Community Relations Council, the Minnesota Council of Churches, and the Minnesota Catholic Conference. As people of faith, we advocate alongside our neighbors of differing religious backgrounds to address poverty, uphold the dignity of previously overlooked communities, and mitigate societal harm. I'm here to testify in favor of House File 5274. JRLC doesn't support any kind of expansion of gambling because of the societal harm that our faith community see every day in the work that they do to support their neighbors. And we're particularly concerned with gambling expansion that hasn't gone through the legislative process where the potential societal impact can be discussed and mitigated by you all. Who are the elected representatives of our communities. Speaking specifically to historic horse racing, these machines are nearly identical in form and function to slot machines. You look at the pictures, you honestly cannot tell the difference unless you're told. And this bill makes it absolutely clear that historic horse racing is not classified as a form of pari-mutuel betting, which is because it's very different to bet on a horse race that has not happened versus one that has already happened. It also clarifies the Racing Commission's purview to ensure that the unilateral gambling expansion that occurred last Monday will not happen again by an unelected and appointed board. To believe that current state law would not classify historic race, historic horse racing machines as gambling devices like the slot machine is kind of stretches credulity. And if simply swapping out an algorithm or an algorithm that is based on something a little bit different into a similar machine makes it not a slot machine or not a gambling device, then effectively we don't have gambling regulations in Minnesota. So I want to thank Chair Stevenson for taking this seriously and for acting quickly.
Thank you, Ms. Patton. We have Richard Bremer followed by Justin Rivak.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Richard Bremer. I'm a fourth generation farmer from Lake City, Minnesota. My wife and now my two daughters have successfully run a diversified family farm for 50 years. One of the agricultural businesses that our family farm is involved with is breeding thoroughbred horses, and we've done this for 30 years. Canterbury Park is a sports venue. Horse owners are the sports team. Horse owners have no connection to Canterbury Park other than to choose Canterbury Park as the revenue where their team is going to play. Horse owners can easily move their team to a different state, to a different venue. All they need to do is hire a coach, trainer in another state, and they tell their trainer they have in Minnesota, we're moving to a different state. And when these horse owners and their horses move, they take along a lot of jobs and they take a lot of potential tax revenue that could have been going to Minnesota. Instead, that tax revenue is now going to go to a different state. Minnesota is sitting here and letting other states eat our lunch. Now, horse breeders, they produce the new team members. Horse breeders think long term. They think about 4 to 5 years ahead because of the time from when you breed a mare till it's of racing age is a considerable length of time. Horse breeders will choose a state where they're going to have that foal born, and they're going to choose a state where the government is supporting the thoroughbred industry. Horse breeders are losing all confidence that Minnesota state government will support horse racing. This is why there has been a huge drop, almost collapse, in the number of foals that are being born in Minnesota.
Mr. Bremer, I need you to wrap up.
Okay. This bill is bad for Minnesota, and it goes beyond the tax loss. The fan base at Canterbury is substantial. Attendance at Canterbury far exceeds that of other states. Horse racing has become a part of the culture of Minnesota. What the horsemen need is for state government to make an attempt to level the playing field between Minnesota and other states. Show horsemen that the Minnesota government cares about the horse racing industry. Find a way to do that, and horsemen will come back to Minnesota. Horsemen love to race in Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr.
We don't want to leave for economic reasons.
Mr. Rivak, you can introduce yourself and proceed. You will be followed by Sally Jane Mixon.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Justin Rivak, and I'm a horse owner and president of the Minnesota Horsemen's Benevolent and Protection Association. The original bill was an overreach that extended well beyond banning HHR, and I still don't think it's clear that even with this amendment that it's not an overreach. I hope you all had the chance to read the letter submitted by former executive director of the MRC, Tom DePasquale. Tom did an excellent job of providing basis for the legal card games that have been played in the track card clubs for the last 7 years and provided his view on HHR. Why does this matter to me and why am I against the bill? My parents brought me to Canterbury Downs on June 26, 1985, opening day, and I was 13 years old and fell in love with the sport. I worked many different jobs at Canterbury Downs as a teenager. In 2010, I paid $300 for a share of a thoroughbred that I found on Craigslist to start my racing career. Today, our stable has 10 horses and nearly 40 partners. We're not wealthy people. We're just a group of Minnesotans who share the love of horse racing and enjoy bringing our families to the track to watch our horses run. 3 years ago, I joined the MNHBPA, where our motto is horse people helping horse people. In addition, I head up the Canterbury Chaplaincy Council, and I'm a board member of the Leg Up Fund, a nonprofit that cares for injured jockeys, exercise riders, the backside community, and retired racehorses. I've discovered that in addition to raising my two kids, improving the lives of the community on the backside of Canterbury Park is my second calling. Canterbury Park and the people who work there are my family, my life, and they mean the world to me. HF 5724 exacerbates the unlevel playing field that the tracks already face today. It hurts the backside community at the racetrack. It hurts the programs that have been developed at the tracks, such as the education program Furlong Learning and Abijah's on the backside. It hurts owners, breeders, farriers, trainers, agricultural suppliers, and many others that participate in this industry that has a $500 million a year economic impact to the state of Minnesota.
Mr. Reback, I need you to wrap up, please.
It hurts the hundreds of employees at the tracks. It hurts the business owners in the communities where the tracks reside. It hurts Minnesotans, the voters, the people who put you in the seats you're in today. Who's looking out for those people? Who cares about them? If you do, you will reject HF 5274. Thank you.
Ms. Mixon, you can introduce yourself and proceed. You will be followed by Trent Malugi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is intimidating.
You are welcome to be here. Take your time.
My name is Sally Mixon. I am an exercise rider at Canterbury Park. I'm the chaplain at Canterbury Park, and then I run a mental health organization that incorporates retired racehorses to work with our grooms, jockeys, people like that, struggling with addiction, trauma, things like that. But then we also bring in a ton of first responders that are coming to Canterbury Park to receive healing. Today and in the past, we have first responders that are coming from Burnsville, Lakeville, Apple Valley, Eagan, Farmington, Savage, Prior Lake, St. Louis Park, Bloomington, Edina, Minnetonka, Woodbury, Hennepin County Sheriff, St. Paul. When bills like this come across the table, I think it's important that we understand that it's affecting a ton of people. When bills come across the table that are going to impact Canterbury Park or Running Aces or the racing industry in general, it's not just hurting those businesses, it's hurting the people and programs that I run like myself, where people in the communities, such as our amazing first responders, are coming and receiving support. So I just think we should do a better job. I think we can do a better job. I could be super naive too. This is not usually, I'm more comfortable in a barn, but I feel like we can do better by just talking with everybody and coming to the table. So that's my hope. Thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate the work you do. I've been to to tour. Mr. Malugi, you can introduce yourself and proceed. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. You will be followed by Becky Hagel.
Thank you. I am Trent Malugi. I'm a casino manager, and I'm also in charge of the poker room at Running Aces. I've worked for Running Aces for most of my adult life. During that time, I've had the distinct privilege of working with some truly exceptional people. When I heard a bill was being introduced that would threaten everyone I work with and care about, my heart sank into my stomach. It is not hyperbole to say this bill would devastate our company to the point it would likely no longer be viable. The bill does this by imposing even more restrictive rules and stipulations on our business that would force us to lose out on significant portions of our revenue stream. It would make us completely uncompetitive in the gaming space. How did a debate over Perry Mutual Historic Horse Racing turn into a bill that strikes at the heart of our business? Since the news spread that this bill was going to be introduced, I've had many employees come up to me, worried sick, wondering what this bill means for them and their families. Many of them have nowhere to go if they lose their jobs. There wouldn't be enough jobs left in our industry to absorb the massive amount of people this bill will put out of work. I answered my employees honestly. This bill puts everything on the line. I told them I would come here to the Capitol to speak on their behalf. Because a business, our business, is its stakeholders. It's the employees, their families, and the people that depend on them. It's the communities we serve by generating tax money. It's the horse racing industry and their stakeholders. It's the other businesses that we do business with, which helps their employees and their communities. It's bringing employment to a region and all the benefits that brings with economic development in the area. This is what is at stake today. I ask this committee to please not vote for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Malugi. Next, we have Becky Hagel, followed by Dean Blood.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Becky Hagel, and I live in Hugo, Minnesota with my husband, Dennis. We have been going to the Running Aces since they opened in April of 28. We frequent Running Aces weekly, and during racing season, we attend most race nights, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Sundays. I am a table games player and regularly play in the card room. My husband and I like to take our friends, our grandkids, our family, and to play cards, to socialize, to go to the harness racing track, to have dinner, and to introduce them to everything that Running Aces has to offer. We greatly appreciate all the tremendous Running Aces employees who always go the extra mile to make us feel at home. When I heard about this legislation, I knew that I had to come to the Capitol to testify. This bill would do away with games that have been played at Running Aces for 16 years. I truly fear this bill would badly impact the terrific employees by taking away jobs from those hardworking employees who have bills to pay and families to support. We have also become friends with many of the MHRI members, owners, drivers, horses who call Running Aces home from May through September. They put all their heart and soul into racing. They depend on the income they receive from the purses to feed their families and the horses. Your decision, if voted in favor of House File 5274, could very well cause Running Aces to close its doors. Excuse me. That would be a great tragedy, and the many friends who work at Running Aces it would be a great tragedy for their families, their children, and all the citizens of Anoka County. Running Aces is a great addition to the North Metro area. So I'm pleased asking you to vote against House File 527. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Hagel. Do we have Dean Blood in the audience? If not, next on the list is Jesse Priner. You can come to the table. And you will be followed by Casey Miller. We'll come back to Dean later if he's here.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. Thanks for getting the name right. Sometimes it doesn't. Before I begin, I have a public service announcement. Make sure to sharpen your knife before you start chopping carrots. When you're done, you'll wish you had.
Representative Hagel does have you beat, Mr. Priner, but we're glad that you were able to join us today, even with your cooking injury.
And mine will come back, they say. Anyway, I would like to tell everyone here, I'm the mayor of Columbus, how important Running Aces is to us, and that Running Aces is a great corporate citizen for both Columbus and all of Anoka County. Running Aces provides between 500 and 600 jobs annually. It's an entertainment value that is clean, orderly, fun, and offers the best harness racing in the Midwest. It's also the largest tax contributor to the tax base of Columbus and a major contributor to Anoka County and the state of Minnesota. Annually, Running Aces pays property taxes to the tune of about $825,000 per year, and additionally, $85,000 in hotel use taxes that's paid directly to the city of Columbus. So they're important to us. But beyond being just a great tax generator and a money machine for the city and the county, Running Aces has also proven to be a tremendous community member with, I believe, sincere generosity and community involvement. Locally, Running Aces contributes to various local youth sports programs and the Youth Service Bureau, whose mission is keeping kids on the straight and narrow and focused on their futures, as well as they strongly support our Columbus senior citizens and, of course, our famous Columbus Fall Fest. So I'm here today to ask you to vote no on the current bill, as it seems that it would have a negative impact on the jobs in Columbus, along with the entire horse racing industry in Minnesota. Running Aces is a significant contributor to our state's economy, providing tax-paying jobs to suppliers, staff, vets, and countless others. If this bill passes, it will cause irreparable harm to my city. Please don't do anything that will harm Columbus. Please do not let this happen under your watch. I urge you to vote no on this bill to protect the jobs and economic contribution that running makes to the state and to my city, Columbus. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Priner. Next, we have Casey Miller, followed by Tyrone Thompson. Theron. This person was signed up to testify remotely, but we're not seeing them in the Zoom, so we just wanted to make sure if they were here in the room that they could testify. But Mr. Mueller, you can introduce yourself and proceed, and you'll be followed by Evan Nelson.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Casey Miller, and I've worked at Running Ace since 2018. I started as a dealer and worked my way up to be a pit manager. The people I've met while working at Running Aces are some of my closest friends, guests included. My coworkers are like family to me. When I came to work last Friday, I didn't expect to hear about this attack on Running Aces, my friends, and my livelihood. The language used in proposed Bill 5274 leaves too much room for interpretation. It has the potential not only to reduce the number of seats on popular games, but completely remove them as well. This could dramatically reduce the amount of tips earned by all of my coworkers. This is how they provide for their families. Leaving so much gray area to be defined in the future is unjust for me, my coworkers, and the local community. We have been successful at providing legal and fun entertainment options since we've opened. This bill is attempting to change the law as various entities disagree with the Racing Commission's vote on ADW and HHR. This is a very sad and frustrating way to have the state conduct business. I have lived in Coon Rapids for 24 years and have been approached at my apartment asking for my support for specific campaigns. Now myself, other employees at Running Aces, and the community I live in are being put at risk. I urge you to stand with us, my friends, and my family at Running Aces and to vote against this bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. Mr. Nelson, you will be followed by Jason Nordby. You can introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there a light? I don't see a time light on here.
No, we're just keeping time here.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you. My name is Evan Nelson. I'm an attorney. I represent Running Aces. I want to just direct this committee's attention and consideration to the fact that just today, the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community filed a lawsuit to challenge the MRC's HHR approval. In other words, the judiciary is going to be reviewing the very issues here. I don't think there's any need for a knee-jerk reaction from this committee or this body to short-circuit that review. Further, I'm not hearing what the problem is to solve. I'm not hearing what the issues are we need to solve. If there are issues caused by the MRC's decision, we can consider those down the road. We can consider those in a few years, in a few sessions. But right now, there is just a boogeyman of HHR, which is not a slot machine, which is just pari-mutuel wagering that we've had for many decades. And if there is a problem with that, I urge you to review the problem, not just be scared of a boogeyman. The MRC saw these issues, saw the actual machines and the actual applications before it, and determined it was not a slot machine, determined that it was pari-mutuel wagering and lawful. And I urge you to vote no on this bill. Let the process play out as the process was intended to play out, and vote no today. Thank you.
Finally, we have Jason Nordby. You can introduce yourself and proceed.
Hello, my name is Jason Nordby. I am a casino manager at Running Aces. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me today. I would like to echo the sentiment and the emotions that have been brought forth to you today. I know what House Representative Stevens said yesterday, that he does not want to change current gaming. More revision is needed to this bill to not change the current gaming. Please talk about that. I would also like to say that many people have said this is illegal. Please, please, let the judicial process play out. There's been a lot of bandying back and forth. We would truly appreciate the process to, you know, review the legal system, and also, as Zach said, the process to please don't affect my current games. The games I'm allowed to put on the floor right now, if you change them, they will affect the viability of Running Aces. Please do more research to what this bill does to our current games. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for your time. I will again ask for Dean Blood or Theron Thompson, if they're in the room, they can testify. And if not, are there any other members of the public who wish to testify on this bill? All right, you can make your way up to the table. We have two chairs, so things should be all right.
Good
You can introduce yourself and proceed, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioners. My name is Aaron Badesum, and I started my career at Running Aces as an intern out of college, and then I've been lucky enough to be at Running Aces since 2008. Opening an entertainment destination in 2008 was not the easiest time, but over the years, we've been able to build on the horse racing and agriculture industry. We've been able to do this because we've been innovative. By taking away the things that we've been able to do business, it'll kill us. It'll shut down the industry that provides thousands of jobs in the state. Representative Stevenson said that the bill does not impact horse racing, but it absolutely does. The money that is made in the card room goes directly to horse purses, breeders' funds, and aftercare programs. Taking away these funds means you're taken away from horse racing. Through our innovation, we've been able to take pride in always doing the right things and doing it within the legal parameters that have already been set. Our innovation has led to progress within the industry and given our state and the people within it what they're looking for in entertainment. We've even had tribal casinos visit us. They didn't only call us the best card room in Minnesota, they've called us the best card room in the Midwest. We've been able to grow the industry and give Minnesotans what they want. Now, through our success, you want to move the goalpost and take away our growth and sustainability for no other reason than retaliation. When we first opened, no one would have thought technology where it is today. Cell phones could barely send a text, let alone now maybe taking a sports bet. Slot machines had one arm to pull with three wheels. But now, through countless technical amendments, tribal casinos have been able to evolve where you can't even count the number of lines these random number generator machines tell you. This is nowhere near what our HHR machines are. If all these other places can evolve, why can't we? Why can't we offer a product that matches where we are today in our technology world? Our games all have a physical dealer, physical cards. There's no random number generator. It is real people dealing. These are the same people you'll be putting out of work.
I'll ask you to
wrap up, please. Do not vote on this bill and set our state back in time. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. All right. Feel free to introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
I'm Mark Hughes, and I just, technology is great, but I'm going to look at it as economics. If there's going to be a problem with Running Aces, why didn't we think about it before we built the thing and invested? What Running Aces has been, like every other business in Minnesota, it's an investment. Hiring our local people is an investment in the economy, the way we let them build houses, buy cars, and what have you. If we were to shut that down, then we'd put a few hundred people out of work. I don't think we want to do that in the state of Minnesota. So let's think about this some more before we, you know, check the box. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes. All right, members, we will move to discussion and questions. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Stevenson. This has been enlightening and helpful testimony and conversation today over the last week. I'm certainly learning a lot, and I hope that that the public is as well. Through the discussions and since last week, this week, the conversations, and the decision by the Minnesota Racing Commission, and understanding that they have their own statutory authority, enforcement mechanisms, and over time, certainly this decision over the historical horse racing has not been the only issue at which there has been some either debate or disagreement. And so my question is, kind of along those lines, isn't there already a process in play for something to move through the courts or to appeal the decision of the Minnesota Racing Commission versus taking action legislatively like this bill does?
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative Schultz, certainly is the case that decisions made by the Racing Commission are subject to the laws of Minnesota in terms of how they can be challenged in court. I learned in this committee room today that there's been a lawsuit filed challenging the Racing Commission's decision last week. I'm not surprised. I predicted that last week when it happened, and I would expect that that lawsuit, should it carry to its conclusion, would be successful. But as you heard from multiple testifiers today, It's also true that when an agency oversteps its statutory authority, as I and many others believe the Racing Commission did last week, that the legislature, it's entirely appropriate for us to correct that and reverse it. We do not need to wait for a court to review the decision of the commission. We can make our own independent judgment of that.
Representative.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that there is a process currently, you know, in law, statutory authority that allows for this discussion to take place and for the appeal to take place. And it suggests to me that we're kind of trying as the legislative branch to assert ourselves in a way that is almost trying to interpret the law, which certainly isn't our purview. And I would, you know, suggest that is something that should be taken up through the judicial realm.
Chair Stevenson.
No, it's our prerogative, Madam Chair, Representative Schultz, to make the law, which is what the Racing Commission did inappropriately last week, not to interpret it, but to make it. And if there are members who believe that there should be historic horse racing slot machines at the tracks, they should introduce bills to that effect. I do not believe this committee has jurisdiction over gambling policy. I'm very confident that no such bill has ever been introduced in this session to do that here.
Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so my question is, and I think it was Mr. My writing is sloppy. Maybe it was Mr. Nelson who talked about how the Racing Commission did a thorough review of this ADWHHR, these games. The Racing Commission, and in fact, I spoke to a member of the Racing Commission last night who said the same thing, that they've been thoroughly reviewing these. They had demonstrations of all of it, and that's what their decision was based on, right? Unfortunately, you know, we have had significantly less time. They did review this for months before coming to their decision. We obviously have significantly less time, and so I am wondering if maybe I don't know who would be the most appropriate person to do this. Maybe it would be Ms. Wilson or someone from Running Aces to talk to us about what are the actual differences between, you know, what we see in the packets, the things that have been submitted. What is the difference between the claims about historical horse racing versus what was just approved by the Minnesota Racing Commission?
Chair Stevenson.
That's not a question for me. But
all right, it looks like there's somebody. Is that Mr. Nelson coming?
Yes.
Coming down? All right.
And I'll ask Ms. Wilson to join me as well, if that's okay, Representative.
Why don't you give us a little bit of background, and then if we need to
Madam Chair.
Representative Newberly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I can just suggest that this is the very crux of the discussion today, so I hope that we make sure that we get to have a thorough understanding.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Nelson.
Thank you, Representative. Both racetracks submitted an application that I believe was some 100 pages long on January 4th of this year to the MRC, and the MRC reviewed that. It included the necessary contracts with AMTOTE, who is the provider, AMTOTE. And it also included a study by the gaming laboratory industry.
Gaming laboratory industry.
Thank you.
Reviewed it.
Thank
and
you.
Said it's 100% paramutual.
That's correct, yeah. And the biggest differences in the claims that have been made today against it and what this wagering actually is first of all, there is no random number generator. There is no luck that or chance that determines whether you win or lose on a certain wager. You can choose with handicapping information on various races which horse you think will win. And if that horse won the race, you win the bet. It's as simple as that. It's a win, place, show bet. These are all wagers that are allowed in Minnesota law. There are also what are called pick N wagers, like a pick three, for example, where you pick three different races, or pick four, you pick four different races, whatever it may be.
All of these wager types are currently allowed in Minnesota. In fact, an HHR terminal allows you to essentially have a day at the races. You can pick multiple races and who's going to win, who's going to place, who's going to show, and if you chose correctly, you win. And for that reason, the MRC decided this was not a game of chance. It was based upon skill. And that skill is how you interpret or use handicapping information. Now, it may be that someone doesn't know much about handicapping, but chooses horse three because they chose horse three. Good for them. But that's a choice based upon skill. It also may be that you choose what's called the daily line. And that daily line is based upon the actual handicapping information for those races. It's no different from going to the track right now and choosing the daily line to place your bets then. Again, this is based upon handicapping information and based upon skill. It is a skill-based choice. In fact, the AGE letter conceded that this was a skill-based game because it said somebody who understands handicapping is going to do better than someone who doesn't understand handicapping. And so it's really important to note that that's the reason this is not a game of chance, because it's skill-based, just like parimutuel wagering. And it's based upon the exact same wagering types that already exist in Minnesota. All of this information was before the MRC, and the MRC approved this wagering based on that information.
I would just add one thing, if I could.
Ms. Wilson, if you have something brief to add, that'd be wonderful.
I would just add something briefly. This involves account wagering, which means that you as an individual, if you want to play these ADW HHR machines, you need to sign up for an account before you can even go to the machine and play. So that's going to be more security. You have to have identification to have this card, and you need this card to actually play this ADW HHR machine. Again, no random number generator. You're getting handicapping information that you can make your choices on. You can decide how you want to play the game and which horse looks best to you. And it's actually going to show you the end of the race, or it will show you the full race that's occurred. So you will actually be able to see exactly what happened and how your bet worked. Did you win or did you lose? And before you place your bets, you can even see the pools. So it's 100% parimutuel betting. It's just like we have in our at Running Aces today.
Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that. That was perhaps more thorough than I anticipated. Can I just ask one quick? I think this is a very quick follow-up. The account wagering that you said that you need to sign up for an account. Do you need that for parimutuel betting as well,
Ms. Wilson?
Okay. In parimutuel betting, you can sign up for an account and have account wagering. Now, you don't have to. So there's many people that will go to our racetrack and they might just watch the races and never place a bet. Or they'll go up and they'll place their $2 bet on, you know, the one that had the, you know, the white horse or the great horse or the one with socks.
Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was trying to think of this in terms that I could relate to and I could understand. And I was thinking back, it's been many, many years, but I remember the old dog track in Hudson. And, you know, we would go there when we were young. And I suspect that similar to this discussion, the way I bet on those dogs was likely more akin to the random slot machine than as any kind of informed decision. The comment that the AGE letter or the AGE letter conceded that people who understand horse racing have a better chance of success would indicate that it is actually not a random slot machine. And in fact, that was the comment that I took away last night. The member of the Racing Commission who I spoke to last night said, I guarantee that people who know about horse racing have a better chance of winning. And I suspect that people who, like me, frankly, who don't know about horse racing, this would probably be akin to a slot machine for somebody like me who doesn't know anything about it. But for people who do understand it, I mean, it's like I said, even it sounds like the AGE, and I will look for that, also conceded that that for people who understand horse racing, they do have a better chance of winning. I think that the only other comment I would make is this idea of overstepping statutory authority. You know, anyone, I mean, it's not just the Racing Commission, anyone, the only thing they have to work with is existing law, right? And they make rules based on the plain language in front of them. And so to suggest that we are now determining overstepping statutory authority that, I don't know, maybe two members, I don't know, were even two members of this legislature around when this initially was passed? Maybe Pawlowski, when all of these, the gaming regulations were put into statute to begin with, but to suggest that we are now simply interpreting statute, let's call it what it is. There is statute that these organizations get to interpret, and the Racing Commission has been charged with that. And now it's up to the courts to decide if it is actually within statutory context or not. So what we're doing with this legislation today is not about overstepping statutory authority. Now, we as legislators get to do that. Like you said, we make the laws, but it is not up to us to determine whether or not they overstep statutory authority. That is literally the purview of the judicial branch of government where all of this currently rests. So, of course, we have the jurisdiction to make laws, but let's not confuse that issue. It is actually the judicial branch's purview to determine whether or not someone overstepped statutory authority. Now, we can change statutory authority, but let's not confuse what those things are. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for providing us some additional information. We'll have the chair return to the testifiers table.
Thank you.
Next on the list, we have Representative Niska.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I actually did have another question for Mr. Nelson. And also, I guess, for Representative Stevens.
I think we're just going to stick with Mr. Nelson at this point for the sake of time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate since he's at the table,
yes.
I have a question for him, too.
Go ahead with your question, Representative Niska.
Sorry, thank you. Mr. Nelson, one of the other issues, at least as it relates to the statutory interpretation issue, is what parimutuel racing means and to what degree the historical horse racing machines, are pooling money or allowing for betting out of a pool. I was wondering if you could speak to that as well.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry for interrupting. I apologize. Okay. And thank you for the question, and I will resist the temptation to perform a legal brief off the top of my head. But parimutuel wagering is wagering in which several patrons wager on the outcome of a horse race, and traditionally we think of win, play, show as a parimutuel wager. All those wagers are then placed into a pool. The house or the track or whoever's hosting it takes a percentage of the pool. It doesn't play against the patrons. It doesn't do better if more patrons win or less patrons win in a slot machine sense. It just simply takes a rake, to use poker terminology. And then anyone who wins their wager takes a percentage of that pool, depending upon the odds and so forth. With these machines, the same thing is happening. The players are placing money into pools. And for example, the pick N that I referenced earlier, if it's a pick six wager, that pool grows until someone wins that pool, or several people win that pool and they take their percentages. The tracks who host this are only taking percentages off the top, as it were, which, is revenue for the tracks, but also funds the horse racing and breeders' funds and the other things mentioned earlier. So it's parimutuel wagering because it's based upon the outcome of races. It's not gambling against the house. It is only gambling against your fellow patrons who are betting into the same exact pools, and the first person to do well, the first person to win, is going to get money from that pool.
Representative Niska.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate that answer, Mr. Nelson. And I guess I'm now more directed towards Representative Stevenson. I think this is kind of the concern I have with the way that this bill has been presented to us. If we were talking about a purely policy decision about, you know, these or what exists and what's relied on by these businesses in Minnesota versus what might be coming in new and what the drawbacks of that are, I think we would have a very different conversation. The way that this is set up as, you know, it raises kind of statutory and factual questions that we don't really have the record in front of us. The Minnesota Court of Appeals will have that record in front of them and can make a decision. But we don't have, you know, the record about what is what these actual machines are going to do. How does that fit with what the statutory meaning of historical horse racing is? I looked at the AGE opinion. I think it's you know, like one initial step in the legal analysis, but it ignores, for example, 609.761, which says, notwithstanding the prohibitions on gambling, parimutuel betting on horse racing may be conducted. So if this is parimutuel betting on horse racing, then the definitions of gambling in the criminal statutes don't really matter. So I think that this approach to the problem of amending the statutes after the fact to say, well, the statutes for what the definition of parimutuel betting no longer means what it meant, you know, to the Racing Commission. You're right, we can do that as a policy matter, but then we should be having the discussion as a policy discussion about, you know, what slot machines or similar machines exist within the territorial boundaries of Minnesota, and what would be the costs of having some more versus, you know, having it as a purely legal discussion. So I don't think the bill is really teed up right in the way for us to move forward on it yet. But I'm interested in your thoughts about that as a legal, since you've presented it sort of as this legal issue, which I'm sympathetic. We should not allow the Racing Commission to be making law. It doesn't seem to me that that's what they did here.
Chair Stevenson.
Well, number one, I do think that they made law and went beyond that, and that's why I suspect that you and I will vote differently on this bill, and that's fine. I certainly think it's interesting to hear that we should, as a legislature, defer, an argument that we should defer to an agency's opinion or to the court's opinion about this policy question of whether these machines should be at the track. It's not the argument that I would have anticipated that would be coming from legislators. I think that this is a discussion that is properly before the legislature, and it's been happened before the legislature for decades. We have had discussions here about whether to have slot machines at the tracks. The legislature has very consistently made the choice to not allow slot machines at the tracks, which is why, and as I mentioned, no legislator has brought a bill that I have seen to put these machines at the tracks. I suspect that that's on purpose, that the decision was made to try and circumvent the legislature that had been very unwilling to make that decision for years and years and years. And I don't think that that's appropriate. I think that we should decide if these machines are going to go at the tracks, just like we decided to allow them to have a card club, to change the rules, as we have several times. You know, we talked yesterday about how we went from 50 tables to 80 tables just about 10 years ago at the card club. So we do occasionally make changes there. And if we want these machines there, a member should introduce a bill. And that's how that should happen. It should not happen at an unelected agency. And, you know, it reminds me, quite frankly, of a different dispute that was very similar that just happened here in my time at the legislature. The lottery, acting on their own volition, put gambling devices at gas pumps as I recall. And there was a lot of outrage coming in particular, though not exclusively, from your side of the aisle. Many of us were in the legislature then. Many of the people sitting around the room then maybe made comments saying that it was an overreach of agency action and should be corrected by the legislature. And the agency eventually retreated. But I think there were a lot of members who took the position that was overreach and shouldn't be done that. And, you know, I think this is the same thing.
Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First off, a little disappointed that I didn't think to wear my Kentucky Derby race attire like Representative Schultz did. So.
Oh, I thought you were going for the Easter Bunny. I love it, though. I love it.
Oh.
Madam Chair, please refrain from personalities.
Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just a couple comments. I don't feel like my duties have been hijacked by the Racing Commission in this. And given the timing of this, I understand how people feel like we are trying to pick winners and losers. I understand that argument coming from some folks. And so, you know, there has to be a way to fix this because tracks, casinos, and the charitable gambling together, they're all assets to the state. And there's definitely a big enough pie here that we can make something work for all of them. There's no doubt in my mind. So to the bill here, we've heard reference about how HHR has been this what the Racing Commission just allowed here in the last week. And I think it was Ms. Wilson that said it talked about Kentucky and Virginia and how it's different than that. And I'm just not clear in terms of how what we're allowing here is different than those states. So if I don't know, Chair, if you know the answer to that or not, I'm just curious as to what the difference is.
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, I'm not familiar with the differences between Minnesota with the machines that were proposed in Minnesota and what is allowed in other states.
Right. Representative Farr.
Could Ms. Wilson, could we have her answer that?
Ms. Wilson, if you could come back briefly and just give us a quick answer on that, that'd be helpful.
Again, our ADW HHR product is specifically designed for the Minnesota laws. We have account wagering based, so you have to have an account to play these machines. You go to Kentucky, it's much different. You go to Virginia. Now, I haven't been there. I haven't played those machines, but it's not the machine that we've introduced that the Minnesota Racing Commission thoroughly vetted and said it complies with the Minnesota laws.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, and thank you, Ms. Wilson. So I appreciate that. Again, I think there's a big enough slice of the pie here that we can, we shouldn't be picking winners and losers and figuring out a way to make us all whole. And I've talked to several people in the last 24 hours about this, and I think there are some things in the works. So to help do that, and I hope that you're on board with doing that. I take you at your word, Chair Stevenson, that you're not trying to pick winners and losers, but I do understand how it looks that way given the timing of this thing. And I'd like to work together to see if there's a solution that we can find for all of these entities in the state. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any comments, Chair Stevenson?
I appreciate that. The one thing I would say about timing, this bill, you know, people don't watch the ins and outs of the legislature closely. This bill is not the only conversation that's happening about gambling. I mean, the sports betting bill is popping up that people probably are watching, but people may not have observed that a ban on historic horse racing was put into the sports betting bill in a hearing where there was discussion about it well before the Racing Commission's vote last week. So it isn't all just a response. This was a position that we had taken before. I agree wholeheartedly, though, Representative Farr, that and I have said many times in many different places that I would like to see a comprehensive agreement that everybody can live with, and that is what I've been working on for 3 years now, which is part of the reason why it is, I think, frustrating that there was an attempt to circumvent that process and go to the Racing Commission, to do something that should have been done at the legislature. But I am absolutely committed to trying to find a path out of this that everybody can live with.
Representative Farr?
Yep. No, thank you, Representative Stevenson. I appreciate that, and I take you at your word there. I just, you know, the solution isn't $600,000 for the tracks, right? I mean, that's fair, right? So it's got to be something. It's got to be a bigger slice of the pie than that. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm sorry I have my back to you.
That's okay.
So we've heard a lot of discussion today about employment, about making sure that we keep Anoka's economy strong. We've heard about the importance of the tax base for running ACEs to the community. Okay, so that's all great to know. I'm looking at the statute 240.135, which is the card club revenue statute. And it says in there that the card room revenue, if they make between $0 and $6 million, they can set aside not less than 10% to be used for the track purses. And then if they make over $6 million in revenue, they shall set aside not less than 14% for the purses and keeping the live races going. I'm curious, Chair Stevenson, do you know what percentage of the card club revenue is currently going to the live races at this time?
Chair Stevenson?
Madam Chair, Representative Cleburne, I do not. There may be people in the audience who do.
Madam Chair, I would ask that we either have a representative from Running Aces, or have a representative from Running Aces come forward and let us know what percentage they're using of their card revenue for their purses.
Ms. Wilson or Mr. Nelson?
Can you give me 1 second?
Thank you.
Of course. Oh, Mr. Sampson, feel free to come up to the desk.
Yeah. So I can tell you at Running Aces, the percentage of the purses that are being contributed to our standard breads and to the thoroughbred tracks from simulcast, over 90% or approximately 90% is going to come from the card room. That's at Running Aces.
Mr. Sampson at Canterbury.
Excuse me, that wasn't the question I asked.
Representative Cleburne.
The question I asked is what percentage of the card club revenue is being used for purses?
Madam Chair, could I?
Sure, Mr. Sampson.
Thank you. Representative, number one, we obviously are paying what the statute requires, what you just mentioned, the 10% of the first $6 million and 14% of everything above that. At Canterbury, that works out to 13-point-something percent, or about $5.5 million, of which some goes to the Breeders' Fund and most goes to the Purse Fund. I will also say, though, I think when we talk about the purses, that is the statutory minimum, and I want to be clear that Canterbury last year, because of need to support the industry, we did pay more than the statutory minimum, and this year we have a contract again to pay a higher number than the statutory minimum to attempt to help with, you know, as I said before, we have a situation right now where there is a real need for increased purses to build the horse industry back up. And so our percentage that is going to purses, especially this year, this coming year, will be significantly more than that required percentage.
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you. I'll wait to hear from Running Aces, please.
Ms. Wilson.
We contribute purses based on that statute. So up to $6 million is at 10%, and above $6 million is at 14%. Our blend is approximately that 13.5, which works out to approximately $6.4 million.
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you very much. So in looking at that, that would mean that at least 69% of your revenue is going where?
Mr. Sampson.
Madam Chair, Representative, obviously we have a lot of expenses, so that's what you have to, I mean, the statute, when that percentage was set years ago when the bill was approved, we were looking at what is the labor cost, which the labor cost in a card room is very high, and there's also a lot of other expenses to running a racetrack and card room. And so in terms of percentage of the actual profit after expenses, it would be close to, at Canterbury, it would be, well, I was going to say close to, but at least 50% of the actual profit after our expenses is going to purses.
Ms. Wilson, do you have a?
I don't have an answer. I'm not 100% with the sure.
It's okay. If you'd like to follow up with the committee after.
But I can say, as Randy said, we have a lot of expenses. The card room is people. We've got a lot of employees, obviously, in the card room. The difference at a tribal casino, if you've got a lot of slot machines, you're not going to have a dealer dealing, right? So there's that metric. So that's the difference at the card room. Plus, our racing is really costly. And the expenses for the Minnesota Racing Commission to regulate the backside, our racing, to regulate the card room, those are big numbers. So there is a lot of costs involved in the card room and racetrack.
Thank you. Madam Chair. Representative Cleaborn.
Thank you. The reason I'm asking the question is because I'm hearing that the legislature isn't doing enough to support the tracks. The legislature is not doing enough to support the tracks. But what I'm also hearing in this conversation, and the reason I ask the questions, is I'm not hearing that the card rooms are willing to do any more to support the tracks as well. And so I'm just a little bit concerned about that. And I'm concerned about it. I want the entities to survive, and I want the entities to do well. That's not a question. But it's like, okay, budgets are determined by what you value. And so if we are here being asked to allow an expanded operation, but the operation itself is telling us it's not willing to invest in what we have asked them and given them the privilege to do this card room, but they're not willing to use those resources to support the track, then I'm just trying to understand exactly why we're at this table and why we're being asked to expand the card room or the casino. It sounds like it's a casino. The next thing I would like to move on to, if you don't mind, Madam Chair, may I?
We are trying to wrap up by 4:30, okay. Representative Cleaborn. After you, there's two other members on the list.
That's fine. And I want to be careful about what I say because there is litigation now. I was looking, you know me, I'm a little geeky. I was looking at financial statements for both Canterbury Park and Running Aces and looking to see who owns them. I was having trouble following the Running Aces ownership as I got more and more into the SEC filings. Would somebody at Running Aces please be willing to tell me exactly who your ownership is?
Ms. Wilson, do you have that information?
I can answer that question.
All right, very good.
We are owned by LLC, and that LLC is made up by two private equity funds that own us 100%. And thankfully, they helped us out of the times in 2008 when we opened up and to the devastation of the economy breaking down in September. And we're still here, and we've managed to get through some bumps. And we don't want you guys to take away opportunities to modernize. And we're not, the sports betting bill that's on the, I know you're not taking it up, but if that passes and we're not included, that's going to have a devastating effect on the card rooms and what we do, because those people will have their phones and they'll place bets on their phones or wherever, and they probably won't necessarily come to the racetrack. So we know there's going to be an impact from that if we're not included.
Madam Chair. Thank you for your additional information. Representative Cleaborn.
I heard that there were two LLCs, but I did not hear the name of the ownership.
Ms. Wilson, do you have that information to share?
We're owned by one LLC, REHP LLC, and within LLC, there's two private equity funds that make up REHP LLC.
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you, and this will be my last. Can you please give me the state of the LLC of the hedge fund that owns you?
Ms. Wilson.
Private equity funds are, I believe the ownership is Connecticut.
Okay, and
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you, and can you please tell me if this Connecticut hedge fund also has offshore offshore locations where they're based?
Ms. Wilson.
I'm sorry, I wouldn't know that answer.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Cleburne. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. A couple of things on this. If I could have the bill author come back to the, and the chair come back to the testifying table.
Certainly, he's here.
Thank you.
Ready when you are, Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Stevenson, you twice today had said, you know, I have not seen any bills that have been introduced to talk about a conversation about changing the statute, as you put it, to allow different gaming systems on there. Should a bill come forward this session, would you be willing to give that a hearing?
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, no, because, as I said, I don't support doing this.
Representative O'Driscoll.
I'm just clarifying, because you said, you know, anybody, no one's brought it forward. So I'm just wanting to see if it was brought forward, if you would give equal time to a differing view or opinion on this, as you just reported and testified that you wouldn't because of your opposition to it. So I just wanted to clarify that, because on two separate occasions you had raised that issue. The other thing that I find kind of interesting about this is the discussion that and the comment that was made about I'm surprised that we're wanting to abdicate the legislative authority to the judicial branch on this. I've been in this legislature for quite a while, and I've seen an eroding by the legislature of giving the executive branch more and more and more authority. So just for the record, that's going on in other areas in the three branches of government with the aid and assistance of the legislature. The part that I think that is really difficult for me on this is an issue of this nature and an issue of gravity that's affecting a lot of people. I'm no attorney, and I don't know, I mean, I know Latin, don't know it all that well, but there's this term called habeas corpus, which means bring the body. I wish it was habeas machinist today, so that we could have actually seen side by side how these work, either in a video representation or in a physical representation on this. And for all I know, there's regulations that don't allow that to happen, but it would have been very helpful for this committee to be able to see side by side what's allowed in other states like Connecticut or Kentucky, which were put forward here today, to see how those work. Because at the admission of many of the players in this, they haven't even seen these systems. So how is the legislature blindly going to be able to make a decision other than we think this is the case and we now have litigation on our hands going forward? So I wish we would have been able to have had that. Perhaps Representative Cleburne, this is going to your committee. You could make a request and see if that's possible, so that at least the members of your committee can see what's happening, not have the benefit of what we've had or lack of benefit that we've had. And so, Madam Chair, my final comments today is this is of an important nature, and I would like a roll call vote on this today when it does come time to vote. Thank you, members.
Representative O'Driscoll has requested a roll call. There will be a roll call. Last on the list is Representative Tabke.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thanks everybody for discussion today and talking about this really very important topic, specifically to my district and my community. I am honored to represent both in Shakopee, both Canterbury Park and the Shakopee Mittauwacan Sioux community, and everyone has both similar and competing interests in everything that's going forward here today. And so I want to start off by saying that I'm extremely proud again. Canterbury Park is an extraordinary community partner. We have a significant number of folks and contribute a ton to the state, to our community, to our district, and it's a really, really great partner. Racing is in who we are and where we have come as a community, and so it's a really great partner that we have there, and we need to make sure as a state and for my district that we are supporting them as a partner in our districts. And so we need to make sure as we're moving forward that I think HHR and where everything is at with HHR is more of a sideshow kind of discussion around the need for more purse money in our racing community. And so other states have injected a ton of money, and that is drawing horses away, which is the number one reason why in Minnesota we are, in my opinion, we are struggling today. And so they have been able to inject a significant amount of money into those purses and draw the infrastructure to other states, to Iowa, to other states that are just not here in Minnesota. And we need to make sure that we're all working together to get that piece fixed. Between, it's in everyone's interest, between between Canterbury Park and between the tribal communities and between the charities and us as a legislature, that we find a solution there. And I think that there is a solution there to be had, and I'm happy to be continuing working on that piece. I don't think that HHR is the solution. I think it's pretty clear to me where HHR is and what that it is not a a good piece moving forward for where we're at. And so I am also not willing to vote for something that is pulling back where we're at today. HHR is something that's in the future, but we're not, can't be pulling back from where we're at today that makes the situation even worse. And so we'll have the utmost confidence that we'll all continue to work together and find a solution that makes sure that Canterbury Park is strong and Shakopee. We've got my district and my community, we've got over 1,000 employees, 700 all year round. We've got Abijah's in the backstretch. We've got PA who is there and makes us all happy. And so it's a really good thing. And so as this moves forward, Mr. Chair, question for you. What is the plan for the stadium gaming side of things? What's going to happen with that as that goes forward?
Chair Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Tabke. Yeah, I think that's a good question. We've been obviously talking mostly today about the historic horse racing machine component of the bill, which I think is a little more clear cut for the reason that you articulated, which is that these are machines that are not currently at the tracks anywhere, and banning them does not take away something that the tracks currently have. As I think several testifiers said, the stadium style car games have been there for 7 years, and so that is a distinction. Whether they should have been there is a question that I think somebody noted is subject to litigation, but also, you know, I'm of the opinion that it was a kind of loophole, a play there. But I think there is a difference, and I think that there will be continuing conversations. As I said to Representative Farr a minute ago and will reaffirm to you now, you know, we'll have continuing conversations about this bill and the sports betting bill and look towards a solution that everyone can live with.
Any follow-up, Representative Tabke?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Stevenson, for that piece moving forward. So just in conclusion, I just want to make sure that we are all keeping an open mind. We are all keeping open to working together to find solutions through the sports betting bill and other avenues as this moves forward to find solutions that work and make sure that everyone in the state of Minnesota who cares about this industry and who cares about this great piece of who we are, as that that all stays whole moving forward. And so I just encourage everyone to continue working together, and we'll get it figured out.
Brief closing comments, Representative Stevenson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, and people for coming today and testifying. I thought we had a good discussion all around on a subject that I know a lot of people feel very emotional about, and so I really appreciate the good discussion from everybody in the room on that. Thank you. I did want to address briefly two things that were discussed about, particularly with Representative Brindley and the representatives from Running Aces, saying that the difference between HHR and slot machines and other gambling devices, one was that you have to have an account. You have account-based wagering. That does not really do any work for me. I think you could have account-based wagering with slot machines. I don't think that that distinction matters for the purposes of deciding what is a gambling device and what is not, what is permissible at the tracks, what is not. The other thing that was said was that that these historic horse racing machines are more like more skill versus luck, and that if you understand handicapping better, you'll do better at historic horse racing than someone who doesn't, and therefore that means that it's not a game of chance and it's more a game of skill. First of all, that same argument would apply to blackjack or poker, video blackjack, video poker, video slot machines, all which have odds that you could interpret, and you will make different decisions based on that. A couple people commented that even alcohol gambling enforcement conceded this point, as if to say they were conceding that this was a game of skill and not a game of luck, and they quoted from the letter, but I thought it was unfortunate that it was a selective quotation of the letter. I'm going to read the part that is pertinent to this point. They say, the HHR machine determines the initial offering of historical horse races for the player to choose from a random number generator. The horses races are not simulated and are selected by the machine from a predetermined list of race results. The player who understands handicapping may then make choices to impact their rate of return. That was the part you heard quoted before. That's where the quotation ended. However, this is not much different than a player of a video poker machine. The video poker machine determines the initial set of cards to be delivered to the player, then a player who understands poker strategy makes choices to impact their rate of return. I think that these are very, historical horse racing machines are very clearly slot machines. That was the determination made by AGED in their review, and I agree with it. I think that for them to be approved, it would need to come through the legislature. It did not, and we should close the loophole. Having said all of that, I also really strongly agree, not only with the comments of Representative Farr and Representative Tabke, but also Mr. Norby, who came up and said that he hoped that we would continue to have discussions and continue to refine the language and continue to work towards consensus. And I am committed to doing that. As I noted yesterday, the initial language that came out gave a lot of people concerns, and I listened to those concerns and addressed them with the amendment yesterday, because we were not trying to do many of the things that people were afraid the initial language tried to do, so it needed to be corrected, and we did correct it. And we will continue to do that as this bill moves on to Chair Cleavorn's committee and beyond that. And with that, I'd ask for a yes vote.
Chair Stevenson renews his motion that House File 5274 as amended be re-referred to the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee, and the clerk will take the roll. The chair votes aye.
Director Teason-Wattoon, aye. Lito Driscoll?
No.
Lito Driscoll, nay. Representative Bierman?
Bierman, aye.
Bierman, aye. Representative Cha?
Aye.
Cha, aye. Representative Dotseth?
Dotseth, no.
Dotseth, nay. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Freiberg, aye. Representative Cleavorn?
Cleavorn, aye.
Cleavorn, aye. Representative Kegel?
Aye.
Kegel, aye. Representative Kraft?
Aye.
Kraft, aye. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative New Bridley?
No.
Representative New Bridley, nay. Representative Niska?
No.
Niska, no. Representative Perryman?
No.
Perryman, no. Representative Farr?
Farr, no.
Farr, no. Representative Schultz?
Schultz, no.
Schultz, no. Representative Stevenson?
Aye.
Stevenson, aye. Representative Tabke?
No.
Tabke, no.
There being 9 ayes and 8 noes, the motion prevails. House File 5274, as amended, is re-referred to the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee. Members, we do not have committee tomorrow, as we will be on the Eid break. I hope everyone who's celebrating has a lovely day, and we'll see you next week. We are adjourned.